This is the audio for Hobbes, Locke, and Rousseau reading. This is the standard version. If you have ER at the top of your paper, you'll want to use the other audio track. So first, let's talk about Thomas Hobbes, who lived in England from 1588 to 1679. Hobbes was the first modern political philosopher. He established that the right to rule or sovereignty did not come from God, but instead came from the people. He founded the idea that all humans should be equal in the eyes of the law. But unlike most of the Enlightenment thinkers he would later inspire, Hobbes did not believe humans were essentially good. He was something called a strict materialist, which means that he believed humans are essentially no different from any other physical object in the universe. They have no spirit, they have no soul, humans are just matter and motion. Therefore, humans are subject to the whims of cause and effect. They're essentially machines made of meat who pursue pleasure and avoid pain. Therefore, without laws, humans will do only which gives them pleasure and avoids pain. Hobbes argued that without fear of a government to punish them, humans will do every vile act which would bring them pleasure. In nature, there exists a war of every man against every other man. He stated that humans enter into society, leaving the state of nature, in order to gain certain advantages. In doing so, they sign an unwritten social contract in which they give up certain freedoms in order to gain the benefits and protection from society. He believed that the government that best protects people was an absolute monarchy, for it had the least chaos within it, and therefore could most effectively administer law and reduce the lawlessness inherent of humanity. All right, so let's reread some of his quotes now. In nature, there is no place for industry, because the fruit thereof is uncertain. And consequently, there is no culture, there's no knowledge of the face of the earth, no account of time, no arts, no letters, no society. And which is worst of all, there's continual fear and danger of violent death. And the life of man is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. And that's from his great book, Leviathan. All right, the second quote, also from the Leviathan, says, "During the time men live without a common power to keep them all in awe, they are in that conditions called war, and such a war as is of every man against every man." I like him a lot. Anyway, the next one is by John Locke. John Locke lived later. He was born in 1632. He died in 1704. So he was around the same time as Thomas Hobbes, but only for a little bit. He was also in England. And so Locke was in many ways a student of Hobbes, but came to wildly different conclusions. Like Hobbes, he agreed that humans leave nature to enter into a social contract. However, he differed in what made men evil. He argued that humans are born a blank slate, and through their lives they're taught their values. Locke therefore believed that humans only learn to be wicked from society. Therefore, a government founded on fear, as Hobbes suggested, would teach people to be fearful and, consequently, to be wicked. Locke was a founder of the idea of natural rights, which suggests that all humans have certain rights regardless of the laws of their society. He stated that those rights are life, health, liberty, and property, and he argued that no government could remove or in any way impact those four things without some sort of just cause. Locke also believed that the mind was a blank slate. Therefore, it makes sense that he also believed education was among one of the most important things to a good society. He thought that education had three parts: to develop the body, to build character, and to teach academic curriculum. He thought that the vast majority of humans are defined by how they were taught, so only through good teaching could a good society be born. Locke was also a champion of democracy, which he believed preserved the best elements of the social contract, while also not teaching people to live in fear. He also believed that people have a right to challenge and replace their government if it becomes corrupt. He believed that revolution was sometimes not only a right, but an obligation. Let's read a couple of his quotes. The first one is from two treatises on government. I hate the word treatises. Anyway, the state of nature has a law of nature to govern it, which obliges everyone, and reason, which is that law, teaches all of mankind that being equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. Second one from the same source says, the goal of law is not to abolish or restrain, but to preserve and enlarge freedom. And the last one says, I think I may say that of all the men we met with, 9 parts of 10 are what they are, good or evil, useful or not, by their education. And that's from Some Thoughts Concerning Education. Very catchy book title. All right, last one, last dude we're going to talk about is named Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Kind of a hard name to pronounce, so get used to that one. Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He was much later than the other two. He was born in 1712 and died in 1778, so he was not alive when either of the other two were alive. And unlike the other two, he was actually from Switzerland and France. He kind of switched between the two. Okay, let's read. So Rousseau continued Hobbes and Locke's work on the idea of the social contract. However, even more than Locke, Rousseau viewed society as easily corruptible and prone to wickedness and oppression. Rousseau stated that the ideal state for humans is equally distant from wild animals on one side and oppressive government on the other. To Rousseau, that ideal state is what he referred to as the quote-unquote noble savages, which are humans living in primitive societies. He argued that the people of such societies are happy and that they have moved away from the savagery of nature, but that they have not yet invented the inequality and greed of civilized society. Now, Rousseau didn't believe it was actually possible to return to such ways, and therefore he believed that it was the job of humans to try as best as they could to alleviate the inequality, envy, and fear that come along with living within modern human society. To Rousseau, poverty was the thing that was most wrong with society. He found it to be especially wrong when some lived in poverty and some lived in fabulous wealth. And to Rousseau, that was a sure sign that the social contract had failed. To Rousseau, the most important work of government was to educate its people. He believed that this was the only way that they could keep their inherent goodness while also being included in civilization. All right, we've got a lot of quotes by Rousseau. The first one from Discourse on Inequality is a fantastic quote, but it's kind of hard to break apart, so hopefully this makes sense to you. The first man who, having fenced in a piece of land and said, "This is mine," and found people naive enough to believe him, that man was the true founder of civil society. From how many crimes, wars, and murders, from how many horrors and misfortunes might not any one have saved mankind by pulling up those stakes or filling up the ditch and crying to his fellows, "Beware of listening to this impostor. You are undone if once you forget that the fruits of the earth belong to us all and the earth itself to nobody." Anyway, great quote from Discourse on Inequality. The next one from The Social Contract says this, "In truth, laws are always useful to those with possessions and harmful to those who have nothing, from which it follows that the social state is advantageous to men only when all possess something and none has too much." The next one's from Discourse on Inequality, same source as the first, and it says this, "Nothing is so gentle as man in his primitive state, when placed by nature at an equal distance from the stupidity of brutes and the fatal enlightenment of civil man." And the last from Emile, or On Education, says this, "Everything is good as it leaves the hands of the author of things, and everything degenerates in the hands of man." Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening.